The Michael K. Show.
So I'm going to London again. Last time I went for about a week. You know what I'm doing this time? Yankees Dodgers on Friday. So this is Sunday morning baseball. I'm flying out after the Yankee game on Friday, and I'm going to fly back after the game on Sunday. So I'm going to be in good shape that Monday.
You get there what day? Friday?
If I can get a late flight out, I'll get there very early Saturday.
Got it. Should we go out there Friday and do the show from foggy London town? I'll do it.
No, I'm doing the Yankees Dodgers on Friday. So I'm doing the show before the Yankee Dodger game.
Look at you. And are you chartering out with the Yanks?
They're not going to London.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Mets. You chartering out with the Mets?
It's not good.
What the F?
The Mets are playing a game on Saturday and Sunday.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You know, Peter's been around a long time with us. That was his worst moment.
I mean, I think we'll hear it again.
The level of stupidity is beyond anything that I can imagine for a guy who's very bright.
I don't think you had to frame it in with the S.
How would you have framed it?
Confusion. I don't know. I don't feel great about it, but I also, you know, I don't need to be insulted. It's not right. Especially, I'm a man with glasses. You shouldn't treat a man with glasses this way.
I'm a man with glasses. I understood the Yankee game's a Friday night, Yankees Dodgers. Looking forward to that.
You're not a real man with glasses.
Well, what does that mean?
You're a guy who wears readers. We in the glasses community, we don't really accept you.
All right, so now you'll accept me. I'm going to put on my progressives, you clown.
You don't really wear them very often.
I wore them all day yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. Pay attention. You going to fly with the Mets?
You wore.
Maybe
you
we'll
wore,
go to foggy London town, do the show on Friday.
You wore them to our event?
No, I had them on the floor.
You had them on the floor?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I had them in the case on the floor.
Oh. So you didn't
want to be photographed with glasses on.
Why?
Because I don't really need them particularly for distance. When I'm driving at night, I use them.
Again, this is why we don't accept you.
No, I don't care if you don't accept me. Couple of the big stories. Yankees looking for an opening day starter. The way it has been reported, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone met with Marcus Stroman. And I don't know if it was Stroman. I don't know if it was all three of them. All three of them agreed he's going to stay on his program, which would lead him to start the third game of the season. That would be the Saturday at Minute Maid Park against the Astros, which would then lead him to start opening day Yankee Stadium the next Friday. So he's out. Gerrit Cole is out. They have already eliminated, for some reason, Carlos Rodon as possibly starting that game. So Rodon is out. I don't know if Rodon said he wanted to stay on his program or the Yankees don't want to put too much pressure on him. So it comes down to a possible three. Aaron Boone says he knows who it's going to be. He's going to hold it close to his vest because anything could happen, which is smart. I mean, they could make a trade for somebody that would be lined up to start opening day. So why announce it now and then change? There's no need to announce it just yet. Starting tomorrow in separate games will be Clark Schmidt and Nestor Cortez. So if they start tomorrow, which is Friday, and if they get the 5 days rest, well, they wouldn't exactly line up to start the opener. But he also said that he could rejigger the schedule and one of them could start. Then you have the possibility of any of the other guys, that would be the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th starters for the Yankees, they can go. Could be Luis Gil. It could be Clayton Beter. Could be Cody Poteet. They have options. Could be Will Warren. Could be Chase Hampton. We'll see. Who I think it's going to be, if I had a guess, the guy who is best suited to do it, I think that's Nestor Cortez. He loves the spotlight. He will not wilt in front of a sellout crowd at Minute Maid Park. I think he wants the challenge after last year's tough season with the shoulder problems. I think that's the way they go. I don't think they go with the young man, Clark Schmidt, who also is ultra confident and will not wilt. But if you're going to look at who's the better pitcher when healthy, the better pitcher is Nestor Cortez. So the starter on opening day probably only has to go 5 innings anyway, and then you turn it over to the bullpen. But that's a 4-game set, no days off, and then it's a 3-game set in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks. No days off. So it's not like you could continue to use your bullpen to get 12 outs. There's 7 straight games out of the gate. 7 straight out of the gate. Usually there's off days for opening day, but both of those ballparks have retractable roofs, so you don't have to worry about rainouts. So there you have it. P Peter, if I had to guess who it's going to be, when they do announce it, unless they make a deal, I think it's going to be Nestor Cortez. That would be the way to go.
And how would you feel about that?
I'd be fine. And I mean, anybody is not Gerrit Cole. So, I mean, you've got to rejigger your thought process on the season moving forward. If Gerrit Cole is out just 2 months, I don't think it affects them whatsoever in their quest to win a championship. If Gerrit Cole is out for the whole season, then I do believe that that impacts whether or not they can win a championship, depending on if they go out and get somebody and who that somebody is. Now, you can make the point that, you know, teams have lost great pitchers and gone on to win championships. I think in 2011, Dan Grosso brought this up during his show yesterday. Adam Wainwright, who finished second in the Cy Young the previous year, had to have Tommy John surgery. Cardinals went and won a World Series. Last year, Jacob DeGrom was hurt. After, I think, 6 starts for the Rangers, they went on and won a World Series. So it can be done. I think it becomes much, much more difficult without Gerrit Cole. I can't sit here and lie to you. I'm sure the Yankees feel that way, too. The whole pitching staff is built around the rock of Gerrit Cole. So if you take Gerrit Cole out of the equation, things become more complicated and much more difficult. And I also love, you know, Yankee fans saying, well, why don't they go out and get Snell? They made an offer for Snell. 6 years, 150. It was turned down. So what does he want now? And anything that you pay, and then they went out and pivoted and got Marcus Stroman. If they went out and got him now at $30 million a year, that's $63 million. I'm sorry, you make do with what you have. I don't think he makes that much. He's not going to match what Gerrit Cole can do. He's a 5 1/3 inning pitcher. Gerrit Cole's a 7 inning pitcher. Those extra 5-6 outs are really important. So I'm not sure, even if it wasn't my money, and it's not Brian's money, it's Hal's money. I don't think I'd spend $63 million to bring in Blake Snell. I don't think it changes the equation that much. Now, if you could get him on a really cheap deal,
well,
and he wants you to have $20 million, okay, I take the chance.
I think it changes the equation quite a bit. It's just about, is it worth it to spend that money to change the equation?
I don't think it changes it quite. It changes it.
I mean, come on. If Blake Snell all of a sudden is...
But does it take you back to Gerrit Cole?
No, but how about this? You now have a legitimate number one in Blake Snell, which, let's be honest, we don't know. Depending on what you get from Cortez, you don't know if you have a legitimate number one at all now, period. With all due respect to Marcus Stroman, he didn't get paid like a legitimate number one.
Well, you got to hope that it's Rodon that's the number one.
And that is, at best, a wild card. So I will say, while you may not think it's the move, Snell would give you an actual proven, legitimate Cy Young number one starting pitcher, and then... Suppose you run into a miracle and it turns out not to be the whole season for Cole. You get him back after the All-Star break. He becomes your number one and Snell's your number two. And now you're talking about a ridiculous playoff rotation.
Well, I will tell you this. If they think they're going to get Cole back, I don't think there's any way they would entertain Snell. If they get Cole back at the All-Star break, they think they could cover those starts. Now, if they find out in the next week or so that Gerrit Cole's out for the season, then I think they might have to reconsider. I still think they would probably shy away from that. Buster only had a story today on ESPN Plus saying that, from what he's ascertained, he doesn't think the Yankees are going to go for either Snell or Montgomery. They made a spirited try at Dylan Cease. Maybe there are other pitchers out there. Maybe they just make do until, the trade deadline, and if they're really close, they make a trade for somebody that could be that guy. I don't know. But a lot of this depends on the news they get on Cole. And I don't think they truly know if Cole is out for the year yet.
No, they don't.
I really don't think they know that. I don't even think Cole knows that. I just think they know that they've lost him for a bit. They're hoping for the best. There's a chance he's out for the year, but it's not like they're sitting on the fact that they know that he's out for the year and not telling people. I don't think they know. I mean, he wouldn't make a trip to see Neil Eletrosh if it's already been established that he's definitely going to be out for the year. I mean, why do it? Why rush out there yesterday? They're trying to expedite this. Now, the other story is the Aaron Rodgers situation. CNN reporting yesterday that Aaron Rodgers told Pamela Brown at the Kentucky Derby many years ago that he thought the Sandy Hook tragedy was, in fact, not what was reported to be. Mentioned crisis actors and stuff like reprehensible stuff. He released a statement earlier, which to me is a non-denial denial. He says, as I'm on the record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have never been of the opinion that the events did not take place. Again, word salad. Even if he thought it was staged, the events took place in his mind, right? Then he goes on to say again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will allow us to prevent unnecessary loss of life. My thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected along with the entire Sandy Hook community. And he puts a heart emoji. Again, a very oddly worded, or maybe not oddly, maybe strategically worded denial. Didn't say that he never said that to Pamela Brown. Did not say that. Never. Could have easily said what's being reported is untrue. I never said that to Pamela Brown. Didn't even address it. Came out and said, I believe the events took place, which doesn't at all wipe out what she said, because the events obviously took place. He's just doubting what was being reported was what happened. Reprehensible for anybody to think that. And haven't heard a word from the Jets. And in that, you know, conspicuous in the absence in that statement, Peter, nowhere, nowhere in those lines. Let me count how many lines that was. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 10 line tweet. Didn't mention the vice presidential nonsense.
No, he did not. He did not.
So either he loves the joyride or he is legitimately considering, and RFK legitimately considering, making him his vice presidential running mate. And I said this earlier, I truly believe it, because he is a master of chaos. That even if he is named the running mate of RFK Jr., he intends to play football, because that's how his mind works. I mean, how much campaigning does the vice president do? How much pressing of the flesh does he do?
And by the way, here's what you have to think about if you're RFK. RFK's goal is not to win the election. I mean, it is no more his goal to win the election than it was the realistic goal of Conor Roy on Succession to win the election. Okay? That's just not a real thing that's going to happen. So isn't it really worthwhile to have Aaron Rodgers as your running mate because of how much noise it makes? It's not like you're going to win.
I guess so. Again, I think the whole run falls under the heading of agent of chaos. You know, they've done the homework, who it swings the election to. And Peter and I talked about this earlier. We don't know who it swings the election to. We're not quite sure. You could debate it either way. It helps Trump. It helps Biden. I'm not sure. He's doing it for a reason. He's not going to win.
So I kind of feel like, since you aren't going to win anyway, kind of a smart move to bring in the guy who is the most vocal, famous possibility. All it does is help build whatever brand building you're attempting to do with this whole thing, no?
And for Rodgers and his massive ego and the craving of every bit of a spotlight to suck the air out of every room, it fits his narrative.
Why would he not do it?
Why not? And again, if he's going to play football, I mean, shame on the Jets if they allow this nonsense to go on. Shame on them. Shame on them for everything that's gone on. And not to rein this guy in. Shame on them for allowing him to spout his nonsense on Pat McAfee every week while he wasn't playing. Shame on them for allowing it to happen this year, too. And if this guy's going to run for vice president, to allow him to do that and still be the quarterback of the Jets, shame on them. But they have painted themselves in the corner. They can't do anything with this guy. They're afraid of him. They have handed him all the power. He has as much power as Woody Johnson. Because without him, the Jets are nothing. Because neither one of us, and Don the same way, we ever take away the greatness of Aaron Rodgers on the field. But there's so much noxious nonsense that comes along with him. That really, did you have to get in bed with this guy? There was no other choice. There was no other way to get a quarterback.
Well, and not only that, Michael, because I will say this. There was certainly nobody with the talent of him available. Because guess what? There may be nobody with his talent in the history of the game.
Right.
But I will say this. You could have at least not been such little you-know-whats in the way you decided to handle it. Because, Michael, at this point, tell me what options he has. How many teams are banging down the door of Aaron Rodgers at this point? Why can you not put your foot down a little bit at this point in time if you're Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh, and the Jets? Tell me why. Where is he going?
I'll tell you what. He'll leave.
Okay.
He'll just retire. And then you're nothing. You're what you were last year.
So real quick, because he would have to deal with the optic that because they gave a little bit of pushback, the story would get out. The story would then get out that they gave the tiniest bit of pushback. And he immediately, this guy who's so driven to win another championship, one of the greats of all time, and we all know he wants to be considered that, he would then have to deal with the fallout of everyone knowing that the second someone attempted to coach him, he ran scared. I don't think he'd do it. I think they could choose if they wanted in this moment. Michael, I'm not saying be heavy-handed. I'm not saying rip the guy in public. But they could rein him in. We could hear a story. At some point, Rich Cimini could report that a phone call was had between Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers, and it was decided, based on everything that happened last year, we really want to focus on this year being nothing but football from here on out. Michael, if that were to send him running, it would be a real black mark on his resume.
I'm not sure he would look at it that way. And I think that when they traveled out to California to seduce him, to make him a Jet, they promised him all this stuff. And they're not going to go, you listen, you have carte blanche, you do what you want.
You really think they did that?
I do. I think they handed him the keys.
Whatever you want, you say what you do.
Whatever you want, whatever players, didn't they go out and get whatever player he wanted? They didn't get Odell. That was it. And every player that he wanted did not play the way you thought he was going to play. Alan Lazard?
Oh, no, they play the way, they mostly play the way I thought they would play.
Randall Cobb? Nope.
Wait, Randall?
Don't be surprised if they get David Bakhtiari. His best friend from Green Bay. Don't be surprised.
So
don't
you're
be surprised if they make another run at Odell.
I would just like to say that Alan Lazard maybe performed a little bit less than the average player that I thought he was. Randall Cobb played like the very old player that he was. I mean, everybody
all
sort
right,
of.
So yeah. I mean, you're a football fan, but you're not a football front office guy. So you would assume that they knew that too. But he wanted him. They got him. He wanted him. They got him. I forget the name of the offensive lineman he wanted. Terrible. He wanted the backup quarterback, Boyle. Awful. Everything he wanted, awful. Everything. Who was that?
You talking about Billy Turner?
Billy Turner. Everybody. Everybody he wanted. Did anybody step up and play great? He has the keys to Florham Park. He is allowed to run the team. He wanted Zach Wilson to be the backup. For some reason, he wanted that. And you know what? They stupidly said yes, and they cratered their season when he got hurt. Zach Wilson can't play, especially with the Jets. Can't. Hasn't. Won't. So now they found religion this year and got Tyrod Taylor. I wonder if he signed off on that. I'm sure they run everything by him. So now they're going to all of a sudden say no to him? If you spoil your child for the first 6 years of his or her life, they're going to be spoiled. You can't all of a sudden say no. You can't. You can't. Let's go to Scott in North Carolina. Scott.
Hey, guys. Big fan. Missing Don today. Just wanted to say I'm a New York transplant, big Jets fan. I mean, I know they probably can't trade him because he's probably still got the no trade. But, I mean, you talked about him walking away. That might be better than the probability that they're going to have anything successful this season. And, Tyrod's decent. Peter said they couldn't make the playoffs with him. I disagree. I think that, they could easily be a 9-win team with him. They have talent. They get a couple more pieces. So I just wanted your thoughts when they should pull the plug.
The problem, no, I don't think you pull the plug. You're in for, you're in for a dime, you're in for a dollar. You've sold your soul to the devil. Write it out. You're going to hell anyway. Write it out. You can't all of a sudden back out on the deal. And you can't tell me that the chances of making the playoffs and going a couple of rounds in the playoff are not better with a healthy Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. And the dirty little secret is Tyrod Taylor. He gets hurt a lot, too.
Listen, I think all of us are Tyrod fans on the show. I think he's a really solid player, exactly who you'd want to have as a backup and could bridge the gap. He's won 8 games once in his career in 2017. In the years since then, to Michael's point, when he's available, he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Again, I'd love to have him. I think it was a great move. The Jets should have made the move last year. They shouldn't let the Giants get him. They should have absolutely had someone there, and he's a great one to have there. But you're telling me that this Jets team, let's not forget, I mean, the talent that they have got called into question over the last season. Even without Rodgers, Michael, as bad as everybody else was, still no one stood out. I mean, if you're really looking at the offensive side of the ball, Garrett Wilson had a bad year last year relative to how talented he is. This is not a team that showed they're necessarily built exactly the way we thought they were. And that group with Aaron Rodgers, you believe could compete. That group with Tyrod Taylor, yeah, Michael, I could see them winning 7 or 8 games. They're not going to be a playoff team. I'm sorry, I don't see it.
And I keep getting pushback on social media. You know, you say, well, what could they have done? They could have signed Lamar Jackson. The Ravens weren't letting Lamar Jackson get away. It was structured that anybody offered him a contract, the Ravens would match. The Ravens were doing what other teams do. Go ahead, find out your value. And also, the impediment for all those teams, if you signed him, you had to give up for 2 first-round draft picks, too. He wasn't going anywhere. That was not an option for the Jets. Who knows if they even explored it. But they were in on Rodgers from the beginning. They didn't even want to think about anything else. They fell in love. Full-bloom love, as Dave Gettleman would say. And I think that they will regret it forever. What he has done to this organization and the aura around this organization, it's not good. It's not good. And they say it doesn't permeate the walls of the building. It permeates the stink around the team. It's awful. If he said that about Sandy Hook, and if you ask me, do you really believe he said that? Go read the story in Awful Announcing today, because he was on a podcast that specialized in conspiracy theories. He's all in, man. That's who he is. I could definitely have heard him say that, because he did not. He specifically did not deny that he ever said that to Pamela Brown, the reporter from CNN. He specifically didn't deny it. What he said was a word salad cleverly put together to look like he denied it. He didn't deny it. Anybody who doubted that, anybody who put it out there that was a crisis situation with actors and everything, I hope that they feel the pain that those parents feel in their life. I really do. I have a friend of mine who lives close by that area, said that one of the little girls who got killed, the father committed suicide from grief. Yeah, it's all an act, right, Aaron? It's all an act. Families forever moving forward have to set an empty plate for a kid that's never coming home. Kids that didn't even have their baby teeth fall out yet were killed. Yeah, but you want to say there's some conspiracy.
You know, it goes all the way back to the JFK assassination with...
You read that story then?
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
The last real president was the first president I studied, which was JFK, said Rodgers. And that's what got me into questioning things, because I did a sophomore project on JFK, life and death.
Sophomore project in high school.
And when I read back in the day in 98 or 9, you read the story about Lee Harvey Oswald being the sole gunman of the president in this magic bullet theory. I remember thinking to myself in sophomore class, this is bleeping bull bleep. And that got me to questioning things. And now when you go back, and I've read a ton of books about JFK, about his life, he was trying to do some real stuff. He was trying to decrease the power of the Fed and get us back on a metal standard. He was going after corruption. He wasn't letting the OSS, which turned into the CIA, get us into World War III with the Operation Northwoods, which you can go research.
He knows everything. He doubts everything. He also, it actually confused me. He doubts the skylines of cities. He doubts the skylines, like the architecture. There's reasons behind it all that we're not aware of, but he is. He thinks that the whole COVID thing was staged, and again, I'm paraphrasing, so this is not an actual quote, that it was a transfer of wealth to all of Big Pharma, which he's now getting paychecks from. The Johnson family is the Johnson & Johnson family. I mean, I could go on and on.
Here's an interesting end to the article here. In all seriousness, one of the things that becomes abundantly clear when you listen to Rodgers talk long enough is that he doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he's more than happy to continue not knowing it. He sees so much of the world through the lens of someone who has never had to get in the muck and deal with reality. His, quote, common sense ideas have occurred to everyone, but he lacks the grounding to understand why they're not in place, not to mention who is responsible for that. And he presumes that it means everyone else must be dumber than him, rather than concluding that he needs to educate himself further. Not to mention, it becomes clear that while he appreciates being able to, quote, question things, he very clearly focuses that skepticism on specific areas and not others. He truly embodies the college sophomore problem. If nothing else, living your life as if everything is a conspiracy just sounds depressingly exhausting. Those are the words from the aforementioned awful announcing article by Sean Keeley.
It's really a very jarring story. I mean, I would suggest that every fan out there reads it because you'll see the guy you're dealing with. And I'm not ripping him in the sense that you should be curious and you should question things, but he questions everything and doesn't really have answers, but he just doesn't believe what's out there, but doesn't really tell us the real deal. So do I believe if you said, Michael, you've got to tell me, do you really think that he said that to Pamela Brown? My guess would be absolutely, just from his history. Absolutely. Because again, to this moment, he hasn't denied saying it. Again, he issued a statement, but didn't deny that he said it.
And he's just got too many, as you can read in this article, there's just too many theories he has. That would lead you to think, yeah, that sounds like a plausible one he told too. But again, I think we'll find out from other people if, in fact, he's talked about this before.
And he hangs out in echo chambers that tell him what he wants to know, that tell him what he's leaning toward believing. We all could do that. I think we do that with politics. Those that are on the right, well, they watch Fox. Those that are on the left, they watch MSNBC. Everybody gets the news they want, not the news that's real. That's just the way it is. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has done it again, winning their third consecutive Mercedes-Benz Best of the Best Dealer Recognition Award. In celebration, they're having a three-day sales event from now to the 16th with special prizes with the purchase of a new vehicle when you RSVP. Visit their showroom in White Plains or explore online at mbwhiteplains.com. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Hi, everybody. This is Michael K. letting you know that employee pricing is back at PC Richard & Son. You pay what their employees pay, not a penny more, on washers and dryers, refrigerators, ranges, all home appliances. Employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses, too, plus fast and free delivery. It's PC Richard & Son's way of saying thank you for supporting their local family-owned business. Employee pricing, going on now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so St. John's beat Seton Hall today, and St. John's going to its first Big East tournament semifinal since 2000. But winning this tournament is not going to be easy. Next up tomorrow is UConn. That's a 5:30 game at the Garden. We will be across the street from the Garden tomorrow. Our show starts at 3 at the Rutherford on 33rd, right off 8th, really literally across the street from the Garden, so drop by and say hello. Patino said at the game, we're extremely happy for St. John's fans and the university. And he also said that he spoke with the university after, you know, what he said, and he said he felt that they were, you know, felt that this season was over, and he said that he felt it was just beginning. I don't know if he's just like changing that. If he knew that this was going to happen after the way they played, they were so awful, and now they've been so magical since he went off on the team. Well, whatever. He is on the cusp of becoming the first coach to take 6 different programs to the NCAA tournament. Guy can coach.
No, there's no doubt. Listen, I hated that moment. I thought it sort of was beyond the pale of reasonable expectation for college kids, but you have to be impressed. They've either he was telling the truth and it really wasn't a big deal with the players, or he sincerely went to them kind of hat in hand, like, hey, I went too far, but I love you guys. Let's get this together. And whatever it is, Michael, they're responding right now.
Let's see. Diana Rossini is reporting that the Jets have made wide receiver Alan Lazard available in trade talks this offseason, according to league sources. Lazard is due a $10 million salary this season. I wonder how Aaron feels about that. He loves him somehow, Lazard.
Maybe it's the beginning of...
pushing back?
Maybe. Or maybe it's just a matter if he was like, hey, he's like, hey, I tried for you, buddy. You weren't good. I don't know.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark in Syosset. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Michael, I could not be in more lockstep with you on this Aaron Rodgers issue. And the thing that I took away from the statement was this. His words were so specific and so tailored when he said what I've said, always said on the record. And he was clear about that, which means 10 years ago at the Kentucky Derby, what was might have been off the record, number one. And number two, that coupled with what happened with the vaccine and the way he misled the public about him getting inoculated, I think was the word, or something comparable. It's a guy who just misleads, says what he wants. And I really believe 100% he said it. And it was probably said exactly as it was portrayed. And it's really just disheartening and disgusting, like, given what happened with the shootings and the loss of life.
Mark? It's so easy. Like, if it was me, right? If that report was about me and Pamela Brown and Jake Tapper said that, and I never said it, my statement would be, that's an absolute lie. I never said it. I don't know what they're talking about. I deny to the death that I said that. He never said that. He said, I've said on the record. So on the record, he protects his backside. Off the record, he's spewing the, and one of the pushbacks that I saw before we got on the show, Peter, he said it privately. Why should that impact it? Donald Sterling said that stuff privately too, and they made him sell the Clippers. That wasn't anything he said publicly. He said it privately. And he had to sell the Clippers. So what Sterling said, reprehensible. If Rodgers said that, equally reprehensible. To say that children that were killed, that it was not as it seemed, it's just amazing to me. The things that the NFL gets his nose out of joint on, right? And this one, not a peep. Not a peep from the NFL.
There's two things. From the Jets, they've been cowards about Rodgers from the beginning. So, but from the NFL standpoint, Michael, they just know so little about what's going on and if it was even said. It's still too, I don't think you could base very much on even if it's a reliable person, a private conversation at a party 10 years ago, that's a lot for them to respond to. Maybe. Responding just to the whole idea of him running for political office while playing in the league is more of a conversation.
I would say, I said this, this is what I was going to say at the start of the show at 3:00, if he did not release a statement. I was going to say, listen, even if you said what you said, there's no recording of it, you got to lie. You can't get out from under this if you said this. If you said it, and even if you believe it, you can't get out from under it. It's a stain that will not be washed away. So I would have advised him, if I was his advisor, say you didn't say it. So he essentially is trying to say he didn't say it, but he's got some level of conviction, and I guess morals, that he will not come out and say that he never said that to Pamela Brown, because he probably did. He's saying he never said publicly, and he never said the events didn't take place, which is true. He never even said to her the events didn't take place. He just said they are not what they seem to be. So he thinks the events took place. But he doesn't.
But
believe.
That's a big. That is a big difference, though. There is. I mean, as much as I think I'd find all of it to be absurd, there's a big difference between not believing the events took place and believing the information that we were given was, inaccurate.
Let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Bill.
Peter, Michael, it's an honor.
Thank you.
Hey, bud, you too.
So I wanted to talk about Brian Cashman a little bit. His dealing with prospects, I trust him as much as I trust the New York Jets with drafting a quarterback. So for all the prospects that you mentioned that have turned out, and the future is certainly brighter than the past, we still have guys like Davey Garcia and Jesus Montero, Justice Sheffield, Clint Frazier, Paul Bird. These are guys that we were told are the Yankees' future. I don't trust him with being able to deal with these prospects. He is buying high and selling these prospects low.
Well, but you could also look at it in a different way, Bill. How many times has he traded a prospect that became a star? It hasn't really happened. So, I mean, we are locked in on Brian Cashman and the Yankees and also the Mets, and we see the mistakes that they've made. And, yeah, there have been a lot. And Duhar, Frazier, all those guys, you're right. They held on to them too long. But, I mean, it happens with every team, though.
Doesn't that speak to the Yankees' drafts and prospects that they just don't really pan out, with the exception being the few that we have now?
But again, I would ask you this, Bill. How many teams have more starting players than the Yankees do that came out of their system? Even the great players. Great teams are supplemented by trade. So you've got an all-time great player in Aaron Judge, came out of your system. You have a shortstop that won the Gold Glove last year, came out of your system. Jason Dominguez came out of your system. Austin Wells came out of your system. I mean, that's not bad. I'm not going to sit here and defend that the Yankees draft well, but if they really believe in Spencer Jones, Bill, do you want them to trade him for a Band-Aid?
Certainly not, but I look at the Tampa Bay Rays, I look at the Houston Astros, I look at other teams that just seem to be figuring this out far better than we are.
Well, I mean, the Houston Astros have won a lot of championships since the Yankees last did. But, you know, they also admitted to cheating in one of the years that they won the championship. So, I don't know what to tell you. I think we scrutinize the Yankees a lot more than we scrutinize other teams. But other teams make a lot of mistakes with prospects. And some teams actually trade players that turn to be big-time stars. Tell me when the Yankees have done that. That's more damning than holding on to people. Who have they traded that turned out to be a great star? They made a lot of trades with the Cubs, with the A's, to get players that essentially didn't even help that much because of injuries. Any players rocking your world, and you're pulling your hair out and going, why did they do that? I can't believe they gave them up. So that's another way to look at it. But you're absolutely right, they've held on to people for too long, devalued them, and then just essentially gave them away. But it's not just a Yankee-centric thing. A lot of teams do that. A lot of teams overvalue their prospects. The smart ones, though, use those prospects and know that they're overvalued publicly and use them in trades. Now, the Yankees have done that with a lot of players. They've held on to others, and it didn't work out. But I don't think that you could sit there and just kill them for it. Let's go to Andres in Lyndhurst. Andres.
Hey, guys. How are you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Hey. Pretty good, pretty good. I haven't called in a while. You know, I usually call about the Yankees, my Jets, and the Knicks. But for Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson, we're tired of it, man, in New York. Ira said it best. Ira didn't want Aaron Rodgers here. Don last year said we have to dare to dance with the devil. And we did, right? We danced with the devil. We signed Aaron Rodgers. We traded for Aaron Rodgers. It's been a complete disaster. 4 plays in. He's terrible. Aaron, if you're listening, we want you out of New York. We don't want you here. Pack your bags and get out. We want you out immediately. Even if we have to go to your house in Montclair, New Jersey, and have to get you out, we want you out. We're tired of Aaron Rodgers in New York. We're tired, man. We're sick and tired of this. We shut aside Derek Carr, but we're sick and tired of this. Him and his little gang, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, get that whole gang out of here. David Bakhtiari, we don't want you in New York either. Woody Johnson, you have to clean house. Get rid of Joe Douglas. Get rid of Salah. Get rid of everyone, man. Bring in Justin Fields, sign Mike Williams, rebuild and get a new coaching staff in place with a new GM. We cannot take this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you're certainly spirited, but I don't think you do that on March 14th. The only coach out there is Bill Belichick. I don't think he's coming to the Jets.
Yeah, this year, none of those things are happening, but I certainly understand the frustration and wanting to reset. Man, you mentioned Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. I mean, they're now inextricably connected to Rodgers.
Right.
So the second this ends, it ends for all of them.
And we all said it was worth the try for the Jets. And you know what? We were wrong. Because they're not going to win a Super Bowl with this guy. And just the odor that he permeates around a franchise with his odd thoughts. And it's just weird.
It's giving, what you're saying is, it's giving Stench and Mamaroneck.
Yeah. I mean, it really is malodorous. It really is.
Malodorous.
It's not great, man. It's not great. He doesn't, I mean, the stuff that he represents, I mean, I don't want to knock a guy for being curious, but you can't think everything in the world is a, everything can't be a conspiracy. Everything can't be a conspiracy. Again, I can't recommend reading the awful announcing story enough. You got to get inside this guy's head. He doesn't believe anything. Everything is this dark, dark conspiracy. That's why I believe that he said what CNN is reporting. And he made the right move to try to say he didn't, but he didn't say, I didn't say it to her. He said publicly, because he's not stupid, he's smart. You're not going to say something like that publicly, get run out of town. Get run out of the NFL if he said that publicly. Look what happened to Alex Jones, who did say it publicly. He owes them $1 billion. He owes those families $1 billion for the stuff that he said. Crisis actors and stuff like that. Rodgers isn't dumb, but you can be sure he's probably said those stuff to people around the world. His friends, in events. He has.
I think if he has, though, I think someone's got to say something.
But unless it's recorded, Peter, nobody's going to believe it. Somebody has to have a recording of him saying it. Otherwise, he didn't say it. That's why the CNN report was, you know, Pamela Brown's an established journalist and all that, and she said it, and she went on the record of saying it, but it's his word against her word. And those that believe him are going to believe him no matter what. So you've got to have a smoking gun. Other than the fact that his past history of embracing every single conspiracy, that's the only smoking gun you have, and that's not enough. That's why it was a smart play for him today to try to distance himself from it without issuing a real denial. Because there's no way you get out from under it if you say publicly, yeah, I did say it, and now I don't believe it. But if you even believed it for 1 second, you know what? You're a little off. We had a caller actually try to defend it earlier. Oh, but this and that. You know, there was a kid in a yellow jacket. Oh, please stop. You're embarrassing yourself and your family. Those people are grieving to this day. Their lives have been ruined forever. They'll never be happy again. Never. And you're going to question it? They had to bury their children? And you're going to question it? Say that it didn't really happen. Shame on all of you for thinking that. And if you do have proof, show proof. Don't just give me innuendo. There's somebody with a yellow jacket running around. Give me proof.
Well, Michael, let me send you a few YouTube videos, all right? I think these will clear things up for you.
Right. Well, spring training isn't just for baseball players. Nope. It's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by are available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
God. You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Shame on the Jets if they allow this nonsense to go on. Shame on them. Shame on them for everything that's gone on and not to rein this guy in. Shame on them for allowing him to spout his nonsense on Pat McAfee every week while he wasn't playing. Shame on them for allowing it to happen this year, too. And if this guy's going to run for vice president, to allow him to do that and still be the quarterback of the Jets, shame on them. But they have painted themselves in the corner. They can't do anything with this guy. They're afraid of him. They have handed him all the power. He has as much power as Woody Johnson. Because without him, the Jets are nothing. Because neither one of us, and Don the same way, we ever take away the greatness of Aaron Rodgers on the field. But there's so much noxious nonsense that comes along with him. That really, did you have to get in bed with this guy? There was no other choice. There was no other way to get a quarterback. I'll tell you what, Peter, that's a win for me for the week.
I disagree with today's call.
Why?
I actually thought that my take, I thought I had it. I really thought that my take on why not stand up now, what's he going to do, where is he going to go, was better than what you said. You've said what you just said in that clip. You've said 90 times.
What you? To be fair, actually, you
okay,
gave it to, 2 days ago. You gave it to Don retroactively from like 2 days ago.
What do you mean?
You said, "Hey, can Don get point guard on Thursday for a point he made on Tuesday?" So technically, Don won today.
Well, that still doesn't change the fact that I thought my point on Aaron was better than Michael's. But hey, listen, his name's on the show. Everyone's trying to kiss his fanny at all times.
Oh my goodness!
Think
my
there's
point
a raise?
So much better than yours.
Your point was literally we've said.
So
that
what? You can make great points over and over again.
Repeatedly, everybody says they're stuck with him. The point of no. Maybe now they're not in the exact same position. Maybe the power dynamic has changed slightly. Maybe they should, you know, man up a bit, woman up a bit, show a little cojones or ovaries, if you will, and do something. I think that's a profound point that's being looked past.
Yeah, you know, I agree with the judges. So let's go to Steve in Chappaqua. Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Michael. You know, and Peter, it might. I was on the line waiting to talk about the Yankees,
yep.
But your talk for the last 45 minutes on Aaron Rodgers and conspiracy, I got to tell you, you moved me. It was brilliant journalism. You spoke the truth. Forget about that ESPN as McAfee and the Jets are your station. You spoke the truth, and you became the voice of the Sandy Hook parents. To me, Michael, you are to be... You should be proud. And to me, it was like Edward R. Murrow speaking to Joseph McCarthy. You were brilliant, and I congratulate you.
Oh,
I'm proud.
Thank you, Steve. So, see, there you go. That's an earned point guard for me, don't you think, Peter?
Yeah, I'm so moved by what he said. I agreed with every word.
Well, you just hate that anybody actually likes
me. Come on. Well, Anthony, can you do me a favor? Can you humor me with something here?
What's up, Peter?
What was the original call that the gentleman had? Do you know what his original topic was?
It was Yankee related.
Yeah, it was Yankee related.
Really? You don't say. The guy with the Yankee related call just compared him to Edward R. Murrow talking to Joe McCarthy. I mean, by the way, Michael didn't do the show by himself for the last 45 minutes. I thought we both contributed. This wasn't a baseball day where I was hiding in the corner. I thought we were a combo here. Apparently, he only heard Michael just wax poetic. And when I talk to the Yankee fan, they just hear the teachers and peanuts. That's all that happens.
Peter,
can you humor me for a second? I've got to go up and change. I think the color is off on my TV. You look green. With
really?
Envy.
Oh, my God. Really? Yeah. You think I'm jealous?
Let's go to Angelo in Island Park. Angelo.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. I have what I would like to see on opening day.
Let's hear it.
Is an opening of Marinaccio, then go to Rodan, then go to Loazaga, then go to Holmes.
Wait, you want Rodan to pitch in relief?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Angela. No, not because. They need a starter for game two. So you're going to start Rodon as the second inning. Also, Ron Marinaccio, the way he's pitched in spring training, there's a real good chance he's not making the team. So that is a very odd choice by you. I'm not saying that.
Point God material, perhaps?
No. Oh my God, G-A-W-D. There's a chance they go with an opener, but the people that you just named, no. No, that's not happening. No. E&M's coming up in just a moment. Jump into spring at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle and take advantage of special lease and finance offers on C, E, and GLC class vehicles. American Express cardholders take advantage of additional incentives on most models. Choose from sedans or SUVs, gas or electric. They've got a car for everyone. Visit the showroom or start the process online at mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Peter Rosenberg here to tell you about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They remodeled my bath. They did an amazing job. Customized it for my needs. Process easy, one installer, done in a day. No demo, no mess, you know the rest. It's a permanent high-quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like me, and now Natalie as well. For a limited time, get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today like I did at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.